as long as an individual, a human being, does not recognize his status and his own condition or his objective or work. If a person doesn't recognize these things, then he cannot be successful. This is the criteria, or you can say condition, for success. First and foremost, that person needs to understand, what's my capacity, what is my capability, what is the work that I'm doing or have to do. And then that person, when he sets forth, he's successful in the field he goes into. Whether it's a student, if he doesn't consider himself a student, that I'm not a student, then obviously when he doesn't consider that he's a student, then he will not make effort. He will not study. If he doesn't consider that he has to study, then how will he pass? How will he pass the examination? He hasn't understood what his objective is. Let's take the ustad, teacher. So if there's a teacher who doesn't consider himself or herself as a teacher, and she doesn't consider herself to be a good teacher or a teacher, then how will she teach the children? Let's take any example in the world, in the dunya. Take an example. Let's take a shopkeeper, for example. Now, if you don't consider yourself as a shopkeeper, that you need to run the shop, own the shop, and get the mastery in what you're doing, then will that shop run? It won't run. It won't be prosperous. It will not turn over. So you'll be unsuccessful. These few examples I've given to you. So I ask myself a question, and I ask you the question as well, that have we recognized ourselves, that what are we? If we don't recognize what we are, then how will we be successful? This is the correct point, isn't it? Isn't it? That if we say that we've recognized who we are, yes, we are all human beings, but what's the meaning of being a human being? A person ceases to fulfill his tasks and objectives, that if we stop doing what we were sent to do, then we will be the same as the animals. We'll be animals, just like the rest of the creatures. So tell me, that have we recognized what we are about, what we are here for, what is our status, what is our function, what we should be doing? Because we need to face this dunya, we need to face the akhirah when it comes, and we will be tested, and success and failure will be given out. So how can we measure if we are doing the right thing? When we recognize what we are about. If we don't recognize who we are, what we're here for, what we're about, then we won't implement actions based on what we're here for. Do you understand what I'm saying, or shall I go into a bit more clarity? It's clear what I'm saying? So the main point here for us, the biggest point here, is that what are we? Who are we? Why are we here? And what are we meant to do whilst we're here? Then obviously we'll do the right thing, isn't it? Otherwise we'll say, oh no, we're all human beings. Zaid is insan, Bakr is insan, Jim is insan, James is insan, David's insan, everyone's human being. We can do what we want, when we want, how we want. So we can say that as an answer. But this is not the way to approach the life. So the difference between people who don't have the right thinking and our thought process is that we need to recognize who we really are in the right way, on the right status. And we have to realize who we are. So can we realize who we are? We can, yes. How? Why? Due to the basis of Iman. Due to the basis of belief. Others won't realize, but we can realize what we are, alhamdulillah. So this is even a more dangerous point now, even more, you can say, impure or not good, that Allah Ta'ala has given us shu'ur, Allah has given us understanding, Allah has given us iman. Despite that, then if we stay ignorant and we don't fulfill the function that we're here for, we don't implement the actions that we're here for, then obviously that individual will be thrown into Jahannam in the hereafter. Isn't this the case? So we can recognize what we are. Authentically, properly, we have sources, authentic sources. We have a great source, the best source, subhanAllah, glory be to Allah, that if his blessed lips moved, then the Siddiq message came from him. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed lips, his blessed mouth, his blessed words, as soon as they were uttered, then the stamp of approval came on those words. This is the authentic, solid source. I'm not saying Allah, because astaghfirullah, we don't listen to Allah today. We won't recognize Allah today, would we? We say we don't even know. we reject. But when we recognize Rasulullah, then we recognize Allah. We learnt about Jahannam from Rasulullah, we learnt about Jannah from Rasulullah, we learnt about Allah from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not saying this. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said this, was the greatest human being after the prophets. May Allah be pleased with him. So when we have a great, authentic, solid, rock-solid source, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and his saints, then I will say that we are hidden then. We have really concealed ourselves, and we must be the most foolish people in the world if we don't understand. Shall I tell you what the reality is? Shall I tell you? So at least we can start, me and you, we can initiate our life process properly. That's why I speak and why we have a discussion, so that something constructive takes place. So that a person who wants to turn himself back to the right path, he can. He can align himself back onto the straight line if he wants or if she wants. Whoever desires to. Whoever desires to. So whoever wants to understand what I'm saying. Now I've told you we have a very valuable and solid source, and we'll speak on behalf of that source. We will go to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask, what is the criterion for success? Ya Rasulullah sallam, we are spread out in the world today in this generation. We don't know who we are, what we are, what should we be doing. Time is passing and the coffins are being filled and the graves are being filled and the graves are calling out. And we won't be asked through a speaker system, isn't it? That are you doing the right thing, etc. That when we get punishment in the hereafter, we are failures. So we won't be able to say, oh, I didn't know. Then we'll get more punishment at that time. More punishment that you were jahil, I gave you iman, I gave you belief, I gave you the membership of a great ummah. Allah was saying, you saying you didn't know, you knew the rest of life and what to do, you used to go into a computer and research and find out facts. So did you not even open one page of the Quran so you could realize what you're about? Yes, you could have at least put your hand on the Quran or the knowledge that you was given to you, and understood that you're leading a nonsense life. So may Allah Ta'ala save us from those severe consequences. They're very bad consequences, very bad consequences for those who are ignorant. We cannot imagine that all of the pain of the world you can gather together. The amount of pain that you can imagine, difficulties, problems and worries and issues and everything that you can do to give pain this world. But one moment of the grave is still worse than all of the pain of the world put together. One moment of the grave in difficulty, you cannot compare with all the difficulties of the world, and that time is going to come upon each and every one of us. It's come to our parents, our mother's gone, our father's gone, our uncle's gone, our grandfather's gone, our grandmother's gone, our nana's gone, our nanny's gone from the mother's side, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our people who we know, they have gone. People have left us and we will also leave. And it will be the same grave, the same piece of earth with a hole dug in it, and we'll be lowered into it and buried. And it's just a moment, and all of the difficulties and pains of the world put together is still less than the one moment of pain in the grave. May Allah Ta'ala not give us that pain in the grave, that moment of pain in the grave. Allahu Akbar. And we will fail. We will be unsuccessful. We will fall into those problems if today we do not recognize who we are. What if we don't recognize who we are? Then we will not do the actions that are rightfully due on us. If a student doesn't know he's a student, he will not study. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu has stated a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which I'd like to present you, service, so that we can realize what is our status, what is our maqam, what is our function. Because Rasulullah told us, first and foremost, who are you? What are you? So that after bringing about iman, you can prepare and do the actions which are rightfully due upon us. And if we go against that path and I say, I'm fine, I'm totally okay. No, I cannot say this. So that's why Rasulullah, through his Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu anhu, delivered to us the message of Islam. And when the words would reach the ears of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, they would do amal. We don't just hear, rather more than 124,000 companions, their life examples are in front of us, that this is what they were. Subhanallah, Sahabi, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, then only Allah, the friends of Allah, until Qiyamah, this will continue. Alhamdulillah, their lives are in front of us. That they are like this. And after listening to the Prophet, they accepted and they implemented. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was a very beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the ashik, the lover of the sunnah, the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, solid ashik, and very famous in his status, his love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love for the sunnah. He said, once I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I was walking, and Rasulullah, and he said, and I'm telling you the meaning of this hadith. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grabbed hold of me. Subhanallah, and he's saying this, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed hold of me. And imagine the beautiful, subhanallah, status of Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed him and held him. What great people they were, great individuals, that today Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if today, in this day and age, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seen by a person in the dream, then the good news for that person is that Rasulullah sallam will intercede for that person in the hereafter. Subhanallah. This is the, if a state of a person who sees Nabi sallam in a dream. So what about those radiallahu anhu who saw Rasulullah sallam with their own eyes, the Sahaba ikram, the noble companions? Imagine there, what great people they were. So Rasulullah sallam took hold of Abdullah bin Umar. Rasulullah sallam took hold of him and shook him and moved him, gave him a warning. And imagine how they must have been stood. I was thinking of this hadith. What would be the scene at the time, huh? As Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what blessed hands on his shoulders. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shaking him and went close to him and said, Abdullah, subhanallah. Imagine, Abdullah, in this world, in this dunya, you are like this. Your living in this world is like this, just like a traveler is traveling on the journey. Subhanallah. He's on the journey. That your living in this world is comparable to a journeyman, and he has no place to stop, no resting place. Big message. Big message, alhamdulillah. Big message. That's it. And this was the sentence, and Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said further, that's it. Then Abdullah doesn't know when is morning and when is evening, and when is evening and when is morning, when is night and when is morning. Subhanallah. We have to value every second. What's the meaning of this hadith, my friends? Do you understand? What is the meaning of this hadith? What are we? What has Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us? What are we? We are musafireen. We are journeymen. Such a musafir who is traveling and he hasn't got a place to stop. There's no break. There's no stopover. So Abdullah bin Umar said, then after that what happened is that we didn't know when was morning, when was evening, when was evening, was morning. We didn't differentiate. We didn't rest. We didn't stop. There was no taste for the dunya. There was no desire for the dunya. There was no running after the dunya. There was no desire for the dunya. Hope for the dunya. So both concepts were presented by Rasulullah in this world. Two concepts. Two ideologies that were given to the human beings. Remember this. What a big message this is for the insan. Based on success, the basis of success. And in reality, Rasulullah ﷺ opened up the secret. Not the secret, but opened up the reality to all of us human beings that what we are and what we should be doing. So the people of Iman, they have such a great source. The Prophet ﷺ, they straightway say, Amana wa sadaqna, that's it, Rasulullah ﷺ. I've understood today. We're saying, so from today, what are we? Say it loudly. What are we? We have total yaqeen on this. We have solid yaqeen on this, that we are journeymen. 100% yaqeen, over 100% yaqeen, 2000% yaqeen. That today we've realized that what are we? We are musafireen, we are journeymen, travelers, and we have no stopping place, no resting place, no breaks. Now think for a moment. I should look down and you should look down for a while. And how many people today from us, me, you, all of us, how many of us consider ourselves as journeymen on a journey towards an objective? I'm not saying anything. Don't take bad what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing anyone. That, for example, if our maut was near to us, what would we be doing now? Yes, this is reality. Islam teaches us reality. That we have considered that success is just a few things. We need to pay attention to this great hadith on this, alhamdulillah. Very straightforward messages. Not just today. The majalis and the gatherings of the walis of Allah, this is what they discuss. And this isn't from today or a few days ago, alhamdulillah. The Khanqah process the Shaykh and his institution, this is continuing from centuries and centuries ago and will continue until the Day of Judgment. There's no talk or wasteful talk. Rather, in the Khanqah, the awareness is revived and a human being is reminded that he needs to come onto his maqam. No, just we speak and we forget about it after. No, the Shaykh takes the student to the reality of life and the student attains the reality that really I am a musafir. So after today, until today, and from before today until today, if we have not considered ourselves as journeymen, then 100% we will not have made the preparation that a journeyman should do. If we have not considered ourselves as travelers, who are not living here forever, then we're wasting our time. A talib ilm, a student, if he doesn't consider himself as a student, then he will not make effort as a student. Where will he get the books? Where will he study? If a teacher doesn't consider himself or herself a teacher, then how will that teacher teach the students effectively? Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Am I right? I'm just like you. If I'm wrong, then put your hands up and correct me. Then I will think, where have I been wrong? And I'll benefit. So, we are in a big deception that if today I was to pass away, the first question that will be asked to me, remember this. The first question and the most important questions and all the other questions will follow after. There will be three questions. As soon as I pass away, three questions. Allah Ta'ala will be asked about Allah, will be asked about Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we will be asked about the deen of Islam. And alongside that, what do we say? Ashhadu anna Muhammad, ashhadu. We testify, we say this, don't we? We are saying that we bear witness, Allahu Akbar. I am testifying. This is a ajeeb point here. Who are you testifying to? And what about? That when we say, I testify, ashhadu an la, ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu rasul, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu rasul. What am I bearing witness? What am I testifying to? Think about it for a few moments. I'm testifying and I'm giving this to myself, this message. I am giving this message to myself that I'm speaking to myself inside, that I bear witness, I testify that I'm explaining to my inner state, my batin, my nafs, that I've accepted the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that time when I'll be lowered into the grave, then I'll be asked that you testified about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about whom you're being asked. But after testifying and accepting in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did you do any action in your life in accordance to the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did you do that? Subhanallah, then there can be no bigger munafiq, hypocrite or lie than you, that you did not implement what you testified on. You were lying to yourself. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first point he explained to us is that recognize who you are, the mu'min, so you can continue further and succeed. But did you consider yourself as a journeyman? As a traveler? Did you listen to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you didn't, then how will you be able to give the accounts of your life? The musafir, look here. For example, if I say that I'm a musafir, I travel, what type of musafir? If I don't understand the definition of musafir, there are two things in life. You're either a muqeem, you're a local person, or you're a musafir, a person on a journey. You'll get two types of people in the world. Why? Either the muqeem, the local people, living in their home, in their town, in the city, and another musafir who is going to go on a journey. See the difference between the two. So at this moment in time, I'm a muqeem, and I'm a local person. My life is normal. I'll wake up, eat, drink. Now if I have to go on a journey, then suddenly my situation changes. Suddenly my thinking will change. Will this occur or not? Tell me. How much before? 2 months in advance, before a journey I'll plan, I need to go to Pakistan. I'm going to go to Rawalpindi. I have to go to Gujarat. I have to go to another town. Isn't it? Okay, so you'll make a program 2 months before. So 2 months preparation, I'm going to go 2 months. But mentally, I know I'm going after 2 months, but from today I will become the musafir, the journeyman. Why? The preparation, the start in your mind. That, I have to travel after 2 months, I have to travel. What will be the planning? You'll make your passport, buy your clothes, pack your bags, and buy presents. And different times of the day, different days, you will implement the plans you've made mentally, because you're going to go on a journey. And you will have this experience if you go on a journey. You're a maqim, you do live in a locality, but you've become a musafir, or you're going to become a musafir. So musafir is such a status that whenever he sees that I've got to do a safar, even if there's 3 months left, but 3 months in advance he becomes the musafir, and his life internally starts to change, his thinking starts to change, his place of living or abode starts to change. If he's permanently going to another country, then If he sees that there's water coming out of the wall, he'll say, oh, it's okay, I don't need to repair this. I'm going to leave her anyway. Let the water come out if there's a leak. What difference does it make, isn't it? If you're sitting on a sofa and the sofa breaks or rips, will you think of repairing it? Oh, no, after 2 months I'm going. Okay, we can just persevere through this moment. Isn't this the case? Yes? Isn't this the case? So what do we call this? Musafir, the mentality of a musafir. So you've become a musafir mentally, but there's still 2 months left. Oh, leave it. Why do I need to change the carpet? I'm going, aren't I? So what's the point of changing the carpet and meeting the expense? The same place where you're maqim, but suddenly, because you know you're going to depart from there, you will start to dislike that place. No interest, no upkeeping, no looking after it, no running after it, no care, no due care, no figure, no worries. Otherwise, if you're a maqim, you say, oh, is there a plumber? I need to call him round. This pipe's burst or it's broken. Or let's change this sofa. I sit on it every day. I need to replace it. So if you're a maqim, then you will feel that you need to do the right actions to increase your stay. And if you're a musafir, you're worrying about where you're going to, make your passport, luggage, belongings. Look at the difference in mentality between the musafir and the maqim. What a big difference, to this extent that if as soon as the time of traveling comes close, then his condition becomes even more tense, the traveler, isn't it? Bit of nervousness, final touches, preparations. Oh, I need to buy this for that person. If he's going permanently, then even more to this extent that when he gets to the airport, then even then the condition of being a traveler is overwhelming him. Will my luggage get booked? Have I got enough? Have I got the weight? And after sitting on the plane, he's not satisfied. He's a musafir. I don't know what's going to happen when I get to my destination, when I land. What will happen in the airport? What will I do at customs? What will I do here, there? And when, as long as that person doesn't reach to his manzil destination with ease, sets forth into his home and sit down, then he cannot have changed his status. He will stay as the musafir. So Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he state? What are we? What are we? Musafireen. So what should we dislike? Tell me. From what thing of the dunya do I dislike them? Tell me. When I consider myself a musafir, yes, we've agreed this point, and I don't understand or don't agree that I'm a musafir, then will I prepare for the life of the musafir? We have no preparation. To be very frank and open and honest, we don't prepare through salah correctly. All of the actions we do in the day, this is not preparation for the hereafter. Let me tell you this clearly. This is something to think about, my friends. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If we understand this before death today, then let's bring aqal into our lives. Don't trust. First step that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. First step. That you, Abdullah, should be such a traveler that you're just traveling, you're on the journey straight, and you have no qiyam, no residency here. SubhanAllah. So who from amongst us is living a life like this, like a musafir, who's not looking left and right and wants to develop here? Yes? So obviously, if we're not doing this, then we're not musafir. We are worse than the muqims. We have solidified our feet on the earth. We are worse than the muqims. Now, the life of a traveler is that as a traveler has the figure. If we were travelers, then the next destination that we are going to go to after life here, then we should always be worried about the hereafter. It should be embedded in our minds and brains that not a second should be passed or breathed in or out in the day where I shouldn't be thinking, what's going to happen hereafter? Or if I'm doing this action, or will the customs grab me? Will they check the visa and my passport? Will they do this and that? Why? Because we don't consider ourselves as musafir, so we're not preparing for the journey. If we haven't got the preparation, then we cannot give the answer to these three questions. We will not be able to give the answers. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present and he was resting. This hadith, Tirmidhi, Ahmad, and maybe in Bayhaqi, in three places this hadith has been narrated. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, was narrating this hadith. What a great Sahabi, Faqih Adam, the greatest jurist. And he said that we saw Rasulullah was lying down on the straw mat, and on his body the marks of the straw mat came onto his body. SubhanAllah. Such a way, graphically, was described to us the life of Rasulullah, so that we can understand and have aql that what are we? What is our status? So for this reason, when a person understands life, and Rasulullah presented life to us in a very simple way. And when the Sahaba saw this, they thought that this is what we are. Then all of the companions, they had the same color, form, and practice. It wasn't the case that they're living in that world cease? No, has Umar radiallahu anhu, was anyone greater as a leader than him? The amount of land that he possessed from where to where, he was the king. He was the Amir. What a great Amir he was in his time. Tell me. Such a great leadership. Vast land. Vast kingdom. What did he consider himself as always? He never considered himself as a king. He considered himself as a Sahabi. In the Masjid Nabawi, the Prophet ﷺ on the ground, there was a brick put on one side, subhanAllah, and his hand was on the brick and he closed his eyes and he was lying down and a person came to meet him. SubhanAllah, Amir. And somebody will ask that, where's Amirul Mu'mineen? When can I meet him? At what time? Will he be, must be the some leader or nobleman of a country? He said, meeting who? He said, Amirul Mu'mineen. He said, shall I introduce him? He said, here, he's lying down, here. That's him. SubhanAllah. He said, this is your Amirul Mu'mineen? He said, then there can be no greater religion than Islam. Quickly, quickly, make me a Muslim first. SubhanAllah. That if the Nabi of Islam, Rasulullah, that he left such great deputies, that he was the owner of many, many acres of land, a king. At that time he could be king. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. What did he become? Sham. Syria. At that time was such a big country, such a rich country. Syria. Gardens, fruits, lands, orchards. Great country, big country. So, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he made him the governor of Syria. Is this a small thing to be a governor of such a big country? He could have had a Mercedes or a nice house, big house with a rooftop. Four marriages, one, two, thalata, arba nikah, lazim, they say. Arabs say lazim. One dies, there was a woman, and she said this openly, Sheikh, she said that my husband, he's got married four times, four, arba. One died, then another. One died, then another buried, then arba. He keeps the four total. He will not reduce from the four. Allahu Akbar. Arba. But Hazrat Abu Ubaid radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah, such a great companion. What a great governor. Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that today I'm going to visit, random visit. And he was Umar, and he used to research and see that I've given him status, I've given him the rank, I've given him leadership. Let me go quietly and see what enjoyment is this person carrying out. Let me see, is he working properly or not? Without telling him, as Umar ibn went, SubhanAllah. And he was sat there in his office and he came and he didn't even meet. And he said, Salaam alaikum wa sallam, how comes you've come? Is everything fine? He said, I've just come to meet. And he said, okay, fine. Then he said that, fine. He said, no, I had to eat also with you. I want to see, look, what's his house like? Must be maybe a palace or a big house. And he said, no, leave food with me. Just eat here what you want. Whatever I eat, you can eat as well. There were some fresh dates and I'll give you some water and we eat the dates. And Hazrat Umar said, no, Ubaidah, I need to go with you to your house. Please take me to your home. And he was a Amirul Mu'mineen. How can he refuse his words? And this was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So he said, leave it. What will we do, Hazrat Muhammad? He said, no, I need to go with you. I will eat with you in your home. We will have the meal together. He said, please, let's leave it. Please don't insist. We'll eat it. He said, no, I need to go with you. That there must be some issue here now that he's resisting and he's hiding. That he's a proper Nawaz Sharif. Huh? And so he said, okay, fine, let's go. Let's go together. So they walked and walked, and he said, Hazrat Umar said, where are you going? The city finished, Syria, the buildings, the palaces, and they were looking at all the big houses. Maybe this is his home, maybe this building is his, maybe this asset is. The city finished, and they continued. He said, Abu Ubaidah, where are you taking me? Out of the city, it's finished. He said, I'm taking you to my home. Allahu Akbar, your home? Then, for example, the city is finished, the boundary is finished. Where's your home? You're the governor. He said, my house is further up, I made myself. He said, maybe he's made a secret mansion or a palace. A big house, as Umar radiallahu thought. So they continued walking, walking, walking. They saw, subhanAllah, there was a sort of mud hut, and the door for that mud hut, there was no handle, and he hit his elbow on the door and he opened up. It was jammed on the platform. There was no lock, no handle. And they were watching when Hazrat Umar saw this. And then the water started to come, the tears from the eyes of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was Umar radiallahu anhu. And subhanAllah, when they went in, then the ceiling was so low that Hazrat Umar was tall that his head was hitting the ceiling, that he had to bow down. And he had made the ceiling caught it to his height, and he saw a straw mat on the ground. There was a vessel of water, and there was a few dates on a plate and a few broken pieces of bread dry. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. These are the great stars about whom Rasulullah said with pride, these are my stars. Do you understand what is life? They understood the meaning of life. And he said, Abdullah, that you are the musafir. Subhanallah. Live like a traveler. Ubaidullah. Radiallahu anhu. Abu Ubaid. They sat down and he said, why are you crying, Umar? And he couldn't even stop crying. He was sobbing. He said that I cannot speak. And he said, Ubaidullah, you have gone to the limits. That you have, subhanAllah, gone to the limits. And it was said, correct about you, Rasulullah, that you have gone to the extremes in fulfilling the haq, the right. I am ashamed of this, that you are like this. Are you a man like this? And then he started to cry as well. He started to weep as well. And the meaning he mentioned at that time, that you heard and I heard the same Umar that you heard, and you have to go to the same place and I have to go to the same place. So we need to please our friend, subhanAllah, our Yar. And did you forget that what he said? He told us we are musafirin. Do you remember that event? Abdullah bin Mas'ud, do you remember that event? SubhanAllah, Rasulullah was lying down and his body, the marks of the straw mat on his body. And what did we say? The Ya Rasulullah gave us the permission that so that we can put a mattress out for you, because their kings were enjoying themselves, and at least we want you to rest and have comfort so you can relax, and you are the king of the two worlds. At least you should have the haq to relax. Give us the permission so we can give ease to you. And then Rasulullah sat up, and after sitting up straight, he said, what are you saying? What are you saying? That I have no link with this luxury and comfort. The link between me and the dunya is like the musafir who's traveling, and the tree comes and he rests for a little while and then he continues on his journey. Just after a short while, say subhanallah. So this is the life, our life. And the person who has life like this, my friends, his salah will be accepted. His Quran will be accepted. His Ramadan will be accepted. Subhanallah. Look at this. One bowl of water. And you cannot put water in there. If you want to put milk in there, you can't put milk in there. If you want to put the nice drink in there, you can't put the nice drink in there. And if you want to put a nice, valuable, expensive syrup in there, because you can't put it in because it's full of water. My friends, the qulub that are full with the love of the dunya, then Allah Ta'ala's love will not go into those hearts. You can read hundreds of Qurans, thousands of Hajj, thousands of Umrah you can perform. And despite doing all of this, but if the love of the dunya is in our hearts, we haven't allowed the ikhlas to come into our hearts, we have not understood what are bad actions, and the love of the dunya doesn't allow us to identify sin, it doesn't allow us to identify what is a bad action, what is the praying of salah, we pray salah, we are gangsters and bandits and sinful and oppressors, and we break the sunnah, we don't observe parda, no, we don't observe hijab, we commit sin and we do zina and adultery, for this reason that the artificial ibadah that we're doing, where can we go when the bowl of water is full and our hearts are full with the love of the dunya? First we need to go and empty this bowl out, the heart. We need to empty out the love of the dunya in the company of the wali of Allah. The wali of Allah turns the bowl upside down. When the love of the dunya comes out, then the love of Allah comes into the heart. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Hazrat Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, Shahinshah Hind, King of Hind, King of India, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi, great personality, great human being. Hundreds of thousands of people. There's no example like this in history. The amount of people that Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullahi brought into Islam through his efforts. Not just did they come into Islam through his company. Rather, subhanAllah, he taught them so many graves from Hindustan, India at that time. Awliya Allah. That the person who became Muslim, he was a wali. Why? Because his bowl was emptied from the love of the dunya. When the bowl was emptied from the love of the dunya, then the love of Allah was inserted into that bowl. The heart. And this is the function of the walis of Allah. This is the objective. And you can have two things in the company of a wali of Allah. Whenever a person goes to a sheikh, a wali Allah, and he wants to become successful or wants to realize, is he successful? Then the first sign is this. Remember that the company is the company of the sheikh benefiting that person. Is he benefiting from the affairs of the sheikh? The first sign will be that he will start to dislike the dunya. No interest at all in dunya. He will live in the dunya, but he won't have interest in the dunya. Yes, because dunya, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu could have been the king and he could have taken all the luxury, but no, he used to sleep on the earth. This was his interest. And this was the poverty and this was the simplicity in the life. Look at the example of the Amirs at that time. And we do definitely go to the Shaykh and we do dhikr, we meet the awliya Allah. But the first condition, remember, that we need to know, that is that change coming in our life? That is our heart being emptied from the love of the dunya, and is the love of Allah coming into our heart? The desire of Allah, are we starting to dislike the dunya? Are we leaving the wasteful things? Oh, this is a waste and this is a waste. Yani ajeeb condition comes into the heart of a person that his heart starts to leave the love of the dunya and more time he's spending as a traveler, as a musafir, because he knows he's going to depart from this world. Subhanallah. So my friends, this is a very beneficial point. And this is the reality of life today. If I pass away, then definitely understand our situation is very bad. Because we haven't considered or realized that we are travelers. The love of the dunya has not come out of our hearts. And if the love of the dunya has not come out of our hearts, then what will we get in the hereafter? Nothing at all. Nothing. And how will it come out? Why will it come out? First, we need to realize that who we are, why we are here, and what are we? We are musafir, we are journeymen, we are travelers, and there's only one worry in the mind of a journeyman. Always, I need to make my passport, put the visa in, and so I can set forth on the journey. In our mind should always be one worry and concern for thereafter. The musafir of thereafter, there should be one concern all the time, that what preparation have I made for thereafter? What's the preparation for the grave? What shall I do about this? What shall I do about that? What shall I do here? What shall I say here? How will I be saved from this? How will I save myself from this punishment? 24/7. My thoughts, and I should always be thinking, how can I make this shop 2 or 4 or 6 or this and that? No, we need to reduce the love of the dunya and the love of the world will increase. Inshallah, the week will pass. You may struggle, but you say, Allah is Malik. Food's coming, Allah is the Malik. Allah is the owner. So you'll see the reduction on one side, and there on the other side, what will you see? You'll see increase in the love for the hereafter. And then you don't need to hear anybody's statements. When a person sees this, when he becomes like this, then nobody needs to tell him anything. Allah Ta'ala gives a call out to Jibreel. And Jibreel says, Ya Rab, yes Rab, I am present. Allah says, come here Jibreel, listen to me. And Jibreel says, what is it Allah? Allah says, there's a man in the world, he has emptied his heart with the dunya love, and he has filled his heart with my love. Go, the people of the world don't know him, go and announce that he has become a wali Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He says, okay Allah, where shall I say this, my Mawla? Where shall I do this? Go, Allah says, into the skies, that this man is beloved to me now. So everything in the world can recognize him. And if he needs something in tomorrow or sometime in the future, then the angels will be ready stood to serve him. The people of the world don't know he is. And Jibreel alayhi salam calls out, announces to the whole of the heavens, and it passes that message to all of the angels. And that person, he's got distress and problems in the world. There's no one to help him, no one to assist him. And people say, ah, he's a waste of time, waste of space. And Islam, I leave this person, he's backward and this and that. But the angels in the heavens, the skies, they say, oh, he's made 2 and 3. Oh no, he's got 4 cars and 5 factories and he's most successful. Allahu Akbar. This is our basis of criterion for success. This is the interest in dunya. And subhanAllah, we're making palaces. Yes, that person's making palaces upon palaces in the world. But there and thereafter, the person who's emptied his heart from the love of the dunya and he's filled it with the love of Allah, he will succeed. And Allah announces in the hereafter. In the skies, Allah announces, have you announced Jibreel to the angels that this man is beloved to me? Then Allah says, descend to the world of Jibreel and all of the makhluk in the world. And we think that this is the makhluk. Allah says, no, to the depths of the oceans, all the creatures, even if there's a spider, an ant within the boulders and the rocks of the mountains in the darkness of the night, announce to that creature as well that this is my friend who's living in the world. Maybe he will have a need in the world. The ant should recognize that the friend of Allah has come. How dare a lion say something to a human being? I can give you thousands of examples about the walis of Allah, that the lion would bow down and sit in front of the wali of Allah. I can give an example of this country. 100 men saw this. They were witness that how the lions and the elephants, they bowed down in their cages when they saw wali of Allah. Subhanallah. So brothers, makhluk is nothing. The creature is nothing. Who is great? Allah is the greatest, and we need the love of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what do we understand from today? What do we understand and consider ourselves as travelers? MashaAllah. And we should ask Allah, that Allah please keep us as musafir. And what was this dua? Ya Allah, make me miskeen. Keep me as the miskeen and sit me amongst the miskeen. And allow me to sit with the miskeen, sit with the poor people, and get up with the poor people and wander around with the people and have the company of the poor people. This was his dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if for a little while, that we've discussed for a little while, beloved discussion, alhamdulillah, and we have discussed about the reality of our life and our heart. Is it not happy today? Is it not? Has the love of dunya not come out of the hearts? Yes, it has. So we are great personalities, my friends. We've got iman. We are associated with Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his words are coming to us, and his beloved words are coming to us. And we shouldn't be fake people. We should be true people and not deceive ourselves and others and call out, I'm this and that. This is ishq. Can you see the ishq? Everyone has got a bit of remorse in the heart, a desire in the heart. A love has kindled itself in our hearts. Isn't this, guys? Tell me the truth. And this is called bringing change into our lives. And why shouldn't it come? And why shouldn't we? We should put our hearts in front of us and with passion and desire. I've come for this reason, that I want to improve myself and change myself. What other reason is it that I've come here for? I could have prayed Isha and gone home and had not a care for the world or for my hereafter. Is it fard for me to sit here and do dhikr? No. But we had desire. Allah Ta'ala's rewards descend in such places where people give up their time to learn about Allah and His deen and Rasulullah. So after today, what is the true preparation for the musafir, the journeyman? Fasting, hajj, zakat, prayer. No. What's the greatest preparation? What is it? To take the love of the world out of the heart, and it should be physically evident. And we should have the love of the life of a traveler who has no regard for the dunya. Dunya is bikar, a waste. Just like Rasulullah saw this and taught this and educated this to the Sahaba Ikram. It's not difficult. It's not hard. Nothing is difficult, alhamdulillah. Consider and realize your status. Life's a waste. The life, the love of the dunya is a waste. If I'm loving the dunya, then my life is a waste. After some days I'll pass away. I have to present my deeds. I have to bear witness. And I've already testified that Rasulullah was haq. His words were haq. And that time a journeyman. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you and all of us the tawfiq, the capacity and capability to implement this. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.